Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Thursday to you. What's cracking? This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Let me hit that right off the top. What's going on? Welcome to the show. Lots of show for you today. Let me start with your telephone number. We are now officially within 1 month of the silver anniversary smack-off. And in fact, Alvin's famous smack-off promo drops today. The world premiere of the smack-off promo. That's coming up a little bit later on. So you're within 1 month. You want to call right now, 1-800-636-8686. I don't care what you talk about. Come in strong, have a take, don't suck. Try to get your way in. I'm going to lay it out a little bit later on. I've already got a full field. The way it stands right now, I could have the smack-off today and everybody would not get through. I have more people than I need. I have more people than I have time for. Now, if you can play your way in and you want to, you still can. I'm just saying, the field would be set right now. 1-800-636-8686. That doesn't mean you can't get in. That doesn't mean you can't get in and jump over other people. But you have to call to qualify. If you want to shoot me an email, you can do that. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. And by now, you know you can follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. The interview is set up like this. Coming up in about 35 minutes, a 14-year NBA vet, 2011 NBA champ, Caron Butler. Caron Butler joins me in 35 minutes. Hour number two, Jeremy Roenick, NHL and NBC broadcaster, to talk about the Stanley Cup Final. Sean Payton is back in the jungle. Saints head coach joins me in hour number three. So Caron Butler, Jeremy Roenick, Sean Payton, the dropping of the annual smack-off promo, and more. 1-800-636-8686. Let me start with Game 5. Raptors, Bucks, tonight in Milwaukee. Now, if I go back to the start of that series, I had a lot of different thoughts on a lot of different angles for that matchup. If I were to go back, we were talking about things like Claw v. Freak, Toronto's Bigs v. Splash Mountain. How would Toronto show up after a draining series against Philadelphia? How was Milwaukee going to respond to their first real test in the postseason? We knew Milwaukee was good, but were they championship good? I mean, all those questions. And that's only part of the list, a shortened list. Now, four games in, you have even more questions on top of the ones we started with. Kawhi's leg, Kyle Lowry's hand, Milwaukee losing control of the series when it looked like they were going to win it easily. All important questions. But as important as those questions are, they are still all a distant second to the biggest question in that series. And the biggest question right now is, what the hell is going on with Drake? No, seriously. The hell is going on with Drake? Where to start? I mean, why is he giving Nick Nurse a massage during Game 4? Why is this guy roaming wherever he wants on the sideline, doing whatever he wants? I mean, I'll be honest. I never thought that I'd ever be talking about Drake giving out massages. And it's not just that we talked about it yesterday. It's now a two-day topic. It's not just that it jumped the day. Not only is this guy going massage therapist on Nick Nurse, the biggest topic in this series, it has become the biggest topic in all of sports. I mean, hell, what a time to be alive. And it's weird now. It's really, really weird. Normally, weird is good. In this case, weird is just whack. I get it. You're a super fan. You love your team. Support your team. Hell, support your coach. Just don't go all shiatsu on him in front of 18,000 in that barn and millions more at home. I mean, if you got to, slide into this guy's DMs. Just don't break out the incense and baby oil on dude while he's doing work. Trust me, Nurse does not think that's cool. And neither does his coaching counterpart in the series, Milwaukee's Mike Budenholzer.
I don't know of any person that's attending the game that isn't a participant in the game, a player or a coach that, you know, has access to the court. I don't know how much he's on the court. It sounds like you guys are saying it's more than I realize. There's certainly no place for fans and you know, whatever it is exactly that Drake is for the Toronto Raptors, you know, to be on the court. There's boundaries and lines for a reason. The league is usually pretty good about being on top of stuff like that.
Access to the court. Never mind access to the court, man. How about access to his back? Access to his shoulders? Access to his feet? I mean, whatever. There's more, too. He also said, quote, "You can't help but occasionally see Drake just going into timeouts or in and out of timeouts, whether he's encouraging or cheering for Toronto. You know, trying to talk to referees." End quote. Now, normally a head coach saying that a fan is trying to rap with the referees during timeouts, that'd be pretty strange. Like, how the hell could you get a fan anywhere near a referee during a game to talk to that referee, much less have an ongoing dialogue? I don't mean talk junk at the referee or scream at the referee. I mean, have a conversation with the referee. I mean, normally that would be weird and not even possible. But we are talking about Drake here. And if dude is going to rub up his own coach during games, you can be damn sure he's going to chop it up with the referees. I mean, I'm surprised he hasn't already hit them with a full massage. And never mind going deep tissue massage on the refs. I'm shocked this guy hasn't broken out his own whistle and called his own fouls. You know, like, yeah, I got a player control foul on 34 green. What I'm saying is this dude somehow has got a free run of the place. He essentially does whatever the hell he wants, whenever the hell he wants. How is that okay? Like, a dude wandering on the court like that would not be okay at a celebrity all-star game. And this is not a celebrity all-star game. In fact, it's like the furthest thing from it. It's the Eastern Conference Finals. The Raptors are 2 wins from the NBA Finals, 6 wins from a ring. And this dude is owning the sidelines like he's a player or a coach or a player coach. European agent for Giannis tweeted. He tweeted, then deleted, but he tweeted, quote, "Imagine a gig and an athlete with VIP seats right next to the band. Stands up on the stage just to show off during the entire game, knowing cameras are on him, occasionally massaging the singer. Security in him would not allow it. Never seen anything as disrespectful as this before." End quote. Again, that guy's not wrong. It's not just about making Toronto a hostile home court or getting into the heads of Bucks players. Man, it's just weird and bizarre and embarrassing. And the more you look at it, the worse it looks and the dumber it looks. I mean, really? It's dumb as hell. I mean, yes, the Bucks have bigger concerns than a recording artist running around on the court. But this isn't about the Bucks. It's about the league and it's about the Raptors. Now, don't get me wrong. You know I like the Raptors. I think they're a hell of an organization. I think that what Masai Ujiri has done is incredible. This has always been a huge Masai Ujiri house. And I like Drake. I like Drake. I know it comes off as super corny at times, but I'm not looking to take a run at the Raptors or Drake. I like both of them. I mean, the guy's got a great passion for the Raptors. That's nice. I know he's really important to their brand. I get that. I understand that he represents Toronto in the North. I understand that. They've got Drake Knight. He's involved in designing jerseys. He's an ambassador for the team. All good. But being an ambassador with the team is not the same as being a member of the team. And even if the guy was an actual member of the front office, this would not be okay. You don't have Bob Myers running around rubbing up Steve Kerr and acting the fool, do you? Of course not. But then again, this is nothing new. Just last year, when Kendrick Perkins was jawing with Serge Ibaka, Drake made the mistake of getting involved. Perkins described the incident thusly, quote, "He said something slick, so I said something back. Sit your ass down. Watch the game," end quote. Yeah, I don't know. Like, if Kendrick Perkins told me to sit my ass down and watch the game, I'm not getting up out of my seat ever again. Except that didn't work for Drake. Somebody's got to stop this, right? Somebody has to stop this. But if you read his Instagram posts, you know that somebody's not going to be Drake himself. He had one post with photos of him getting amped on the sideline of the game with a caption that included a laughing emoji, a salt shaker emoji, and a shrug emoji. Then there was the Instagram story where he liked a post from somebody that included the following, quote, "Sports media needs to accept the simple rule that Miami Hurricanes signed into law back in the 80s. If you don't want the opposing team to celebrate and dance, prevent them from scoring, winning, or achieving their objective. Get over it and keep moving," end quote. One problem. One problem, D. You aren't part of the team. The argument of, if you don't want the opposing team to celebrate and dance, prevent them from scoring, is about people on the court or on the field. It's not about fans. You're not supposed to be accepting Miami's rule about celebrating. You're supposed to be accepting the NBA's rule about fan conduct. And my guy, you are way over that line. You imagine any other fan running around on the court like that, massaging coaches, trying to work the refs? I guess what I'm getting at is I can't believe I just spent an entire open. I can't believe I just spent all this time before Game 5 talking about Drake. I hope that never happens again. Please, somebody do something. Somebody do something. Somebody do something because it's a bad look.
Someone call someone.
Someone call someone. Somebody do something because it's a bad look for Drake, for the Raptors, for the NBA. And more importantly, nobody wants to see that act in the finals. And they might get there. They might get there. 1-800-636-8686. I never thought that I would say this to a fan, but yo, you got to stop massaging the coach. You got to stop rubbing that coach. I got to tell you something, man. There's a lot of super fans here in LA. I don't remember Jack Nicholson ever rubbing Pat Riley. My man Cube. Ice Cube. Huge Laker fan. He was on yesterday. I guarantee he is not going to be rubbing Frank Vogel's calves during the game. I know it. 1-800-636-8686. That number is toll-free. In addition to that, I really want to get into Michigan hiring Juwan Howard. All right, this is not a new trend, trying to find a former NBA player to be a basketball head coach at the college level. I want to get into this. I like it. It's a big swing and a big risk, but I like it. How about a guy that you all like to call Poor Valley? My man Rich Hill getting nice during the shift yesterday. I have that for you, too. Caron Butler coming up later on this hour. Jeremy Roenick next hour. Sean Payton in hour number 3. And I need a quick timeout. The sun is shining. The temperature is heating up. You know what that means? It's grilling season, finally. This season, eat like the party never ends with Kingsford. Grill burgers, chicken, corn, brats, ribs, all kinds of food with that mouth-watering, dyed and gone to heaven flavor that only Kingsford can fire up. Pick up a bag of Kingsford charcoal at your local retailer and start something big. It's not a party if you're not eating good. And you're not eating good unless you're eating food good with Kingsford. Pick it up right now. Kingsford charcoal at your local retailer and start something big with Kingsford.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Alvy's annual Smack Off promo is coming up soon. Quick reminder, any coach and GM will tell you the foundation of any great team is great talent. So it's no surprise that teams dedicate so much time and effort towards finding the right players. The same rule applies when it comes to hiring. You need top talent, but you do not have endless resources to find it. Luckily, what you do have is ZipRecruiter. They scout talent for you. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they do not stop there. Their powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate right through the site within the very first day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome, ZipRecruiter.com/ROME, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Check it out. Caron Butler coming up next segment. Quickly, this email says, nothing weird about Drake rubbing down that coach. Signed, people who take their shoes off on airplanes. You know, for a long time, I would have agreed with that. I got to admit, there's some things I come around on. Some things I thought I would never come around on. I always thought that was like such a bag move. A completely disgusting and revolting D-bag move. Like, man, leave your shoes on. But then something weird happened to me in the past year or so when I was traveling. Dude, like exploding feet. Like they swell up. If you're wearing business shoes and you're traveling, I don't know what it is. I don't know what's happened to me. It never used to be an issue.
Feet, toes, foot.
Right. I get off the plane. I'm like, damn, I'm going to have like a Zion situation here. I'm going to explode through my kicks, except they're not kicks. Like, they're business shoes, like lace-up shoes. So I don't really take them off completely, but I might loosen them up a little bit. Anyway, I've got a little more empathy for that than I used to, because I used to think that was like the most disgusting thing you could do on an airplane. Well, one of the most disgusting things. That said, you can't rub your coach up during the game. I mean, what's next? What, is he going to try and give the guy a facial too? Acupuncture? Foam rollers? I mean, my man's got a free run of the place. Could any other fan get away with something like that? Because that's what that guy is. He's a fan. Yeah, I mean, a Grammy award-winning fan, an ambassador. But the guy can't have a free run of the place like that. Romy, I see nothing wrong with Drake's behavior courtside. Regards, office back rub guy. Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. Office back rub guy is weird. And guy who likes to shake your hand every day at the office, guy is weird. That's always extremely awkward. Like, bro, we've worked together 10 years. We're not just meeting. Why are you shaking my hand every day? I'm going to see you tomorrow too, man. Are you going to do this again tomorrow? Every office has one of those guys. Hey, Jimmy, tonight's game five is pivotal in controlling the series. As the guy who sees the most time on the floor and leader of this team, I will be slapping the floor on defense and in my usual stance, up in the face of the Milwaukee Bucks players. Rap guards, Drake. Signed, Denlesks, Rihanna side piece. Were it being God's plan for you to read all 97 of my God's emails plan. Today.
God's plan. I hold back sometimes I won't.
I feel good sometimes I don't. Nick Rodamus on Twitter. You call that a massage? You call that a massage? Signed, Robert Kraft. Yeah, I said this the other day. How is it that Kraft and his attorneys are going to war? Going to war to make sure that nobody ever sees that video. Because nobody wants to see a 78-year-old's junk manipulated. Right? But it's okay for us to see Drake massaging his head coach. Millions can see that. How come nobody's fighting that? Besides me. Caitlin tweets, just finished up the pod with Roger Lodge. Awesome interview as always. Maybe he can give Adam Hawk some tips about being on a show that he's got no business being on. Hawk's fine. Hawk's fine. He's doing his job. He's doing a good job. Ryan in H-Town tweets, like Drake, I have full access to the court. The food court. Regards, cheesecakes in Carbio City. Beaks in Studio City should not be a thing. Or that I can see that jumping a day, maybe 2 days, but not an entire week. I get it. I mean, how about a week? How about a month? I get it. Beaks is fat. You made that very clear. We don't have to do this every single day. You've exhausted every single fat pun or fat joke pun as it relates to Studio City. There are no more. And then finally, Juwan Howard, which I'll get to in a minute, but this sets it up. Hey, Rome, yesterday was a huge day for Michigan. Juwan Howard accepting the Michigan basketball job is the best scenario that they could have hoped for. It was highly disappointing seeing John Beilein leave Michigan after building that program back up. Getting Juwan Howard was a steal. I feel he was on the brink of getting a shot at a head coaching job in the NBA somewhere. He had a long and successful playing career. He picked up what it takes to win along the way. He has the support of guys like LeBron, D. Wade, Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, name a few. It speaks to the respect the players have for him getting that job. I look forward to seeing what he can do for the Maize and Blue, Jamie and Green Bay. I think that's all fair. Juwan Howard. Look, Juwan Howard is loved and respected around the NBA. People love this guy, and they respect this guy. And, I mean, I wouldn't even say the same thing about, like, his more famous teammate, Chris Webber. Juwan Howard was a member of the Fab Five. He had an amazing college career, and he had it with that program. Then he went on, and he had a long and distinguished NBA career, 19 years. Then he won a couple of rings. Then he paid his dues. He's done all the right things. He's gone about this the right way. So it makes a lot of sense, but it's still a big risk. It's still a big swing. It's a big gamble. I like it, but it's not a lock. You see this trend. There's a lot of former NBA players that are getting shots in the college game as head coaches. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. This is a big ask now. This is not like Jim Harbaugh, for instance. You know, when Michigan brought in Jim Harbaugh, Harbaugh had already been a really successful head coach. B, that program needed a shot of adrenaline. It needed something. Michigan football, not Michigan basketball. Michigan basketball was doing really well. I think John Beilein has never gotten the credit that he deserved. We're talking about a guy that went to two championship games. So that program was not like on life support. That program didn't need that juice. That program was doing just fine. He was killing it there. So Juwan is walking into some enormous shoes, but there is a lot to like about him. I like that hire. I'm not positive it's going to work, but I like it. To me, it's a really good risk. 1-800-636-8686. Why don't we try Calgary? We are talking Raptor basketball. It's not one and the same, but you see me working. Game five of a series that looked like it was going to be over after two games. Let's go to Bob in Calgary. It's good to have you, Bob. How are you?
Good. How are you, Rome?
Good.
I don't see the problem with Drake. I mean, they let Sarah Jessica Parker on the track at the Derby.
That's not a good call. No,
they did not, Bob.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Some things that no matter how hard I work, I can't fix.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that somebody like me would host a sports talk show.
It's happening, you guys.
Heard in the United States and in Canada. Heard on terrestrial radio, seen on national television, heard on satellite radio. It really doesn't make any sense that Sarah Jessica Parker would be a topic on this show and that there'd be three idiots who kept resetting it and that one of those idiots could somehow deke the call screener every single time. Personal appearances are not show fodder, even if you think she looks like a horse. Really successful actress, beloved, very funny comedian, married to a famous actor. It's got nothing to do with anything. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. On that note, I'm going to take a break, and then thankfully, Caron Butler will be joining me. Have a legitimate conversation with a legitimate human being. Jeremy Roenick, next hour. Sean Payton back in the jungle in hour number three. And I want to get further into Juwan Howard. It's a gamble, but is it a good gamble for Michigan? I've got thoughts on it. Here is your...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I am efforting Caron Butler. In the meantime, a moron Bob in Calgary is getting some reaction. And not the kind I was hoping for. At Table Slam fan tweets, Jim, Bob in Calgary deserves a golden ticket just for his dedication to the craft. At Snake Pit Calgary tweets, Bob in Calgary is making our city and country proud. Jamie in Green Bay, where was Bob in Calgary's golden ticket for that call? At JC in Calgary, war Bob in Calgary taking a victory lap again. Jaime, can you please give him a golden ticket? Stephen S.A. No. No. The whole premise behind the smack-off is it's the best of the best. Hey, really quickly, I'm going to lay it out when I drop Alvin's promo a little bit later on. But the way this thing came to be, if you're new to it right now, or maybe even if you're not and you don't remember, the reason I have the smack-off is this. Early on in my career, I figured this much out. If I was going to have any kind of success or any kind of run in the industry, it was going to be on me and my crew. I was not going to turn over my career, my livelihood, and my potential to the callers themselves. You know, because I knew that there were only so many good callers to the show on any given day. In fact, that was my whole issue. Man, if I could just pick, like, I know there are a few good callers. If I could just pick who I wanted to call the show, it would be good every single day because I knew my content, my interviews would be good every single day. But you can't pick the callers, right? But you can one day out of the year. So I figured once a year, I would pick who I wanted to call the program, hence the smack off. The best of the best. That guy there does not qualify. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by an NBA champion. He is a two-time All-Star, an NBA analyst, author of Tough Juice, also part of Racine, Wisconsin's Juneteenth celebration, which is next month. We are joined by Caron Butler. Caron, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on the show, bro.
Always good to talk to you, Caron. Thanks so much. You know, you're from Wisconsin, so let me start right there. You spent some time with the Bucks as a player. So what's it like to see the Milwaukee Bucks two wins away from the NBA Finals?
Look, it's mind-blowing just to think about, you know, the time that I've spent and the hardships and the rebuilding process that, you know, me coming from, you know, the Cheesehead State, and going through that whole process of trying to watch them rebuild on the fly, you know, had a ton of heartbreak. Allen Iverson came through and just kind of destroyed the city when we felt like we had a realistic shot at, you know, advancing. And then all of a sudden you have a guy like Giannis, you know, who's a unicorn in this game who came out of pretty much nowhere and kind of put the city on his back, put the franchise on his back, and he's leading them back into a dominant position and a dominant presence in the NBA Association. So it's just amazing to see that and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
Caron Butler joining us, NBA champion. So as you've watched the Raptors over the course of the playoffs, what do you make of what you've seen from Kawhi Leonard, and how impressed are you with what he's done?
I'm extremely impressed because a lot of people question a few things about him. One, his durability, his leadership, and his capability of pretty much anchoring and carrying a franchise and a team. And I think he's answered all those questions throughout the course of this season. But most importantly, I think when you talk about who's been the biggest surprise in this postseason and who has had the biggest impact this postseason, I think Kawhi Leonard is the guy. You know what I mean? He's hit multiple shots. He's had the best run. He's been the most efficient on both ends of the basketball court. And, you know, right now he has the series tied. And it's because of his play. You know, Kyle Lowry and some of the key components to the Toronto Raptors was out in that game, and he literally carried them throughout that double overtime. So, you know, Kawhi Leonard is special.
We're talking to Caron Butler. You know, Caron, I didn't start you off with this, but I can't lie. I did start the show off with it, and it's weird. Man, I can't believe I went into Game 5 by talking about Drake, but what do you make of Drake and his act? Do you have any issue with the way he's handling himself?
He's a super fan, man, and I think that people have to realize that, you know, entertainment is entertainment. And, you know, some rap is entertainment, some other things entertainment, the NBA is entertainment. And what he's doing is he's getting into the head, you know, of a lot of people. You know, and that's his job to do that. And if he's on the sideline and he's getting into the head of arguably pretty much the MVP of this season, you know, more power to him. You know, and he has to. He has his right to do that. He's been an ambassador for the Toronto Raptors for years, and I see him. That's where he's trying to live. Get into the space of the Milwaukee Bucks. Try to get into their heads. Try to, you know, detour them as much as possible from staying focused on the ultimate goal and winning a championship.
Caron Butler joining us. All right, so you got no issue with it. Let me ask you about Golden State, and they've got some time off this time of year. Caron, you know how valuable that can be when it comes to recovering. What do you make of Steph Curry and Draymond Green and the way they've played after Kevin Durant went down?
Man, look, I thought they did a remarkable job making a seamless transition. You know, obviously I don't give a hell or a damn of who says it. I mean, the Golden State Warriors are better with Kevin Durant. I mean, you may like the style of play that they play when he's not out there because you see even more passing, but he's so dominant and so good. Kevin Durant is a walking bucket. You know what I mean? He's a walking headache. And, you know, he's a tough cover night in and night out. And he's more of a problem when you have the Splash Brothers circling around as shot makers, not just shot takers. You had the versatility of a Draymond Green out there on the basketball court, Andre Iguodala strapping up, and then you put him at a situation where you can isolate him pretty much anywhere on the basketball court with no help. He's 7 foot, and he can just put it in the hole. So I think that, you know, it's been remarkable just to see what they've been able to do and what they've been capable of do. And when you add him back to the mix, they're unstoppable. It's the Golden State Invitational at that point.
We are talking to Caron Butler. I agree with you. He is a walking bucket and a walking headache. Caron, speaking of headaches, how about here in L.A.? Like, when it was announced that Frank Vogel was hired as the Lakers' new head coach, you said you were shocked. What did you make of that hire initially?
It just didn't make sense to me. You know, and I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. You know, not saying that Frank Vogel can't coach. You know, not saying anything like that, but what makes sense is that you have a guy like LeBron James on the back end of his career, and let's face it, he's 17 in, a little long in the tooth, and we don't know how much longer he's going to play. You haven't seen any declining, you know, from a number standpoint or anything like that, but we know at some point it has to come to an end. So give him the best shot, the realistic shot at going out there and contending at a high level with the people that he feels most comfortable with. Now, in my eyes, and I pretty much – you don't have to be a basketball savant to understand this process, but I just think that, you know, Ty Lue gives him the best shot. Or you had Amani Williams, which was another one of those guys on that short list that gave him the best shot. And then you settle for possibly a third or fourth choice in Frank Vogel. And with everything that's circulating and is going around with the Magic Johnson situation, with the rumors of Rob Pelinka and et cetera, you probably want to make the best decisions going forward to put a lot of minds at ease of the Laker fans and just, you know, everyone in the organization. And I don't think they did that with the hire.
Caron Butler, my guest. You know, Caron, that said, you played with Jason Kidd in Dallas. You know what he's about. Should they have just given the job to Jason Kidd?
I would have loved that too, you know, just because I think that his basketball mind, you know, demands the respect night in and night out. And not saying Frank Vogel's doesn't, but I just think that, you know, he's a player's guy. He's a player's coach. He's a guy that people will flock to. And, you know, but, you know, we have yet to see what happens. You know, I think Frank Vogel, with LeBron James being at the press conference, I think that spoke volumes, you know, showing that, you know, him and the Lakers organization is on the same page. But I just felt like to send the right shockwaves through, that hire of the coach would have been really different if you had Ty Lue. And come on, like the discrepancy of just having, you know, a 3-year deal to a 5-year deal. I mean, come on, man. Like, as Ty Lue, you want to make your superstar happy. You want to make the foundation strong. You want to make guys in free agency understand that, look, we're serious about winning. The culture is changing. We're right there. We got young pieces. We're ready to acquire the necessary talent and compete against the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference. I felt like that would have been the right hire.
Talking to Caron Butler for a few more moments. Got a few more things to cover. So, Caron, your son, JC, just finished up his first season at UC Irvine. I don't live that far from there. I go to those games. The program had a huge year this year. Did a great job in the Big West. What has the whole experience been like for you as a father to see your son play some college ball?
Yeah, look, it's been great. And, you know, I've seen you out at some of the games also, man, and, you know, showing that anteater pride. It's just amazing to see him develop, to see him, you know, live in the lab. Coach Russ done a remarkable job of, you know, giving him that necessary leash when it's needed and when it's earned and not given. And I think that, you know, next year is going to be a huge year for him. And he's already in the lab working on his craft, working on his body, working on his tempo, his mind, understanding what he needs to be better at. And I think the pulse of the game has changed for him, but he's catching up to it, and he's just ready for next season.
So, Caron, is he wired with that tough juice, or is that something he has to learn? Does he have his dad's tough juice?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
You know, that's yep. The DNA, man. I think he's understanding how to appreciate, you know, hard work even more and, you know, reps and consistency. And I think, you know, when we have our conversations, I said, what was your biggest learning lesson this season? You know, is that, you know, you start over. You know, your scrapbooks don't come with you. You know, everybody's been the man in their county and in their city, and then now you start with a fresh start, and your competition is going to be different, even within your team, and you have to embrace it and find a way to plug yourself in. So being a freshman, I thought he did a remarkable job of doing that.
All right, so Karan, you and I have that in common, that community, but also I've been spending a lot of time in the Cheese State myself, Cheesehead State, because our son is going to start at the University of Wisconsin, so I've been spending time there myself. You've got an event with the Dr. John Bryan Community Center in Racine on June 15th. What is that event, and how do people get information about it?
So it's all about Juneteenth Day, and what we do every Juneteenth Day is we celebrate the proclamation. You know, it's African-American independence in 1619. We celebrate 400 years of independence, you know, since, you know, us as African-Americans arrived, you know, to this country. And this year is a little more special. You know, it's something that I always sponsored, but this year is a little more special because of the 400-year significance. And, you know, I wanted to come out, give, you know, free clinics. I wanted to give essay contests. I want to have health and awareness, you know, classes. We also do a gospel explosion where we have some of the best churches and choirs in the southeast region of Wisconsin come out and do that. We do car shows, and we also unveil in a dream court. And, you know, I traveled around the whole country, you know, in 70 countries, touched over 50 million people with, you know, junior NBA and et cetera. And we're doing a dream court where I initially started, and I first picked up a basketball at the age of 6. So it's going to be amazing.
You know, in fact, to that point, you and I have talked about your life and your journey in the past. The legend goes that you first started playing basketball at the community center when you were 5 or you were 6. How big of a role did that play in your life, and how special is it then to be able to give back and pass that on to others?
I think it's everything, man. And I think that's what true legacy is all about, you know, using your platform to inspire others. And, you know, showing them by letting them see it in real time. And this is going to be a special moment for me because where I first shot a basket and that court was depleted, you know, resources was taken away, you know, the foundation was cracked. Now we're not only just coming back doing this court, we're going to unveil more courts, you know, throughout the city, you know, in the near future. But, you know, to go back to the beginning and be able to give a gift like this back to your city, it's an amazing feeling.
He is an NBA champion, a two-time All-Star. He is an NBA analyst. He is the author of Tough Juice, which is a great read and part of Racine, Wisconsin's Juneteenth celebration next month. He is Karan Butler. Karan, always good to have you on the show. Appreciate you, and I appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much.
Anytime, brother. Thanks, Jeff.
You got it, man. Be good. Karan, he is one of the toughest athletes I've ever seen. One of my favorites, too. Tough, tough guy. You know how tough you have to be to have a handle like Tough Juice? A gloss like Tough Juice. Rick Carlisle came on this show. In fact, he's been on the show a number of times. But back in 2011, I asked him, I said, man, this guy is tough. He did something on the floor I've never seen before. I said to Rick Carlisle, have you ever had a tougher guy than Karan Butler?
Yeah, you're talking about a guy that when this happened, he was laying on the floor. His kneecap had slid about 3 or 4 inches up his thigh because I guess that's what happens when you have a ruptured patella tendon. He looks down, reaches down, pushes the kneecap back into place, stands up, and walks off the court. And I just said, after the game, I said, listen, man, I don't know what happened there because we hadn't had the MRI yet. I just said, that's one of the most unbelievable things I ever saw any player do. And he said, well, he said, my mama and my grandma were in the stands. He goes, I wasn't going to get carried out in the stretcher in front of them. So that tells you the kind of guy he is.
Take that, Paul Pierce, with your wheelchair. His kneecap slid 4 inches up his leg, and he looked down at it, and he pushed it back into place, and he walked off the floor in his own power and said, my mama and my grandmother were in the house. I was not walking off with them there. Are you kidding me about that? This is why I have a certain reverence for Karan Butler. Always have, always will. Rick Carlisle telling that story on this show back in the day. Next hour, Jeremy Roenick. Open phones when we come back. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.